So welcome, folks. We'll sit quietly together for a bit, maybe 20, 25 minutes, something like that. And then I'll offer a few thoughts, and we'll have some announcements from the manager, and then take our break at 10:30 Pacific, and come back for close. So let's sit together. So, generally, enlightenment, awakening, freedom has been defined as a kind of as a discrete experience or set of experiences that emphasize depth. And these are the kind of the cardinal moments that are celebrated and elevated by lots of spiritual traditions, including the different lineages of Buddhism. And indeed, there are moments that can reorganize a life in some important ways. And that's important to honor. And at the same time, I want to acknowledge that most of the progress is quite gradual. And I even feel like it's partially all of the gradual cultivation that gives power to the moments of depth. It's actually hard to truly draw a circle around one moment and say, this is what did it. Yeah, sometimes it feels this way, but it's still hard to tell how much is just the gradual accumulation of goodness. Ajahn Sucitto said enlightenment is death by a thousand cuts. Yeah. The depth dimension is what's celebrated. I want to raise up to elevate the breadth dimension, so that we could think of the path as organized along this axis of depth, but also breadth. And the breadth is really about how much of one's life remains untouched by Dharma. The pockets of thought, of feeling, of behavior, the zones of one's own mind that have not been blessed by the Dharma. And depth is really what's been celebrated, but it's actually the breadth dimension that makes us a refuge for each other. It's the breadth dimension that makes us safe, that makes our heart trustworthy. And so generally, enlightenment's been measured by the height of our highs. But in a certain sense, I'm more interested by the depth of our lows. Yeah, especially in a teacher. Just how alienated can we become from the teachings on wisdom and compassion? Where are the holdouts in our heart that are still fighting the old battles? What have we sheltered? What conditioning in our own heart have we sheltered from the Dhamma eye? And so, yeah, we raise up these both dimensions, depth and breadth. And the breadth dimension, the way that kind of manifests to a large extent, is in our sila, in our conduct, how we meet the world. And so I was asked to write just brief reflections on sila, and I'll just share these couple paragraphs. Make of yourself a refuge for all beings. The Buddha enjoins us to cultivate this radical heart, a cultivation expressing not only sila, but samadhi and panya too. To be safe for others entails a path of self-discovery, humility, sensitivity, and willingness to be softened by one's suffering. Goodness ripens through a process of letting go, and letting go involves a measure of grief. We grieve the harm done to us and the harm done by us. We grieve the human condition, the indivisibility of life and suffering. This process is autobiographical, idiosyncratic, and universal. To be mindful of goodness brings love. To be mindful of pain also brings love. That asymmetry is the miracle. The more attuned we are to our heart and its instant karmic reverberations, the clearer our life will be, our ethical life will be. The more unified the mind becomes, the deeper the love will be. Boundless, nothing but warmth. The effortless care that is the face of emptiness. And we learn unwaveringly that hatred is never the last word. To see more is to love more. Sila expresses the entire path. And then we begin again. The story we tell about love is never final, new questions, complexities, and debts arise. Might I owe more than I suppose? The ego complicates everything. I want to think of myself as a really good person, and I don't really want to change my behavior. Ethical development stagnates when we rationalize our preferences. It is conceivable that goodness entails much more than even we good people are accustomed to giving. Just because the saint is extremely rare doesn't mean that anything less, strictly speaking, is justifiable. I can imagine in the not distant future a major reconfiguration of our ethical obligations to non-human animals, to the egregious suffering of the most vulnerable around the globe, and to future generations. This is a time for radical hearts. I don't usually feel up to the task, but I am steadfast in keeping a relationship with my own sense of moral incoherence. From that relationship, I hope that I evolve and contribute more of what I owe to the welfare of others. The path unfolds. And then at some point, it's time to die. That final gesture of letting go, which is both deeply poignant and also not such a big deal. Your life was made complete by what you gave away. What are the implications of the silence, of the stillness, of the whatever you have learned, whatever you have softened? What are the implications for your life, for your conduct in the world? I don't want to prescribe what that is. I'm inviting you to investigate. What are the implications of the silence? So I offer this for your consideration. So, we're coming to the close here. And first just to request your understanding for any shortcomings on our part. It's not easy teaching meditation. It's kind of confusing how to do it, and no doubt it's not been done perfectly. And for any ways that the words have trespassed on your heart, we ask your understanding. For any ways which misattuned or misconstrued you, ask your understanding. You know, it's like when a teacher opens their mouth, it's like what flows out is wisdom, but also you get all of my delusion too. Yeah. Because here's the really effed up part. I don't know the difference. Yeah. If I did, I would spare you. Right? And so the path of learning is endless. There's how could one ever know that there's no delusion? It's inconceivable. And so we as teachers keep growing and practicing and have open loops of feedback to understand and of course ask your understanding for our imperfection. Yeah. And to express my appreciation for this unfolding, you know, it's like pretty cool to be able to come together in with these intentions, with the intentions that we have, you know, all of us have, to develop wisdom and love and a million causes and conditions have to come together for us to be, like, you know, here on Zoom together. And certainly a very deep bow to the managers, yeah, who are there somewhere. Yeah, it's like and to the registrar Leo, who's helping for months in advance, and to the rest of the teaching team, and to the people who set up the databases to get, you know, collect your deposit in case you didn't show up and then send it back to you when you did show up. And it's like, and to all the people who supported IRC for forever, and to Gil's teachers, and to the lineage, and you see where we're going. We're going back to the Big Bang, right? So we thank all of it, right? It's pretty, it's like in a world that reveres greed, hatred, and delusion, to actually come together and try to nourish the seeds of peace and care, freedom. That is, I'm touched to be with you. Thank you. You all. So in a moment we'll have closing announcements, and then we'll take a short stretch break and come back at a quarter to 10:45 California time. So I'll turn it over to the to our beloved fearless managers.
Thank you, Matthew. Can everybody hear me okay? Okay, great. So just two announcements. So the first is that after the closing, which is approximately noon Pacific, you're welcome to stay for an informal social time to kind of say hi to fellow yogis. And so that's the first announcement. And the second announcement is regarding donations. So instructions regarding online donations are now on the instructions retreat, the retreat instructions document at the very top with the announcements. And there's a link to where you can make the donation. Please select the date of the retreat and designate if you'd like the donation sent to the teachers or a teacher or to IRC. And if it's possible, we do ask for you to make those donations within the next 3 weeks. That's helpful. So thank you all for your practice. That's it for me.
Thanks, Allison. Did you all do your meditation area cleanup? Yeah, I did a little. It was kind of half-assed, but I did a little cleaning. Yeah. Okay. 17 minutes. We'll reconvene and have a close. Okay. See you in a little bit.